It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from Quest Diagnostics Training Center, and we are joined by a guy, and I said this to Tiki earlier, I think he's fast becoming the most popular New York Giant. He hasn't played a regular season game yet, and that is Malik Nabers. Malik, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming on.
Thank y'all for having me.
He can't be the most popular guy until he sells the most jerseys, and we don't even know what number you're wearing. So the first question, what number are you going to end up wearing this year? Do you even know?
Nah, I'm not pretty sure. After camp end, you know, a lot of jerseys get written off on. So I'll see, you know, what
number do you want? Well, I know what you had in college, but you're not getting that one because that's Daniel Jones.
But. I mean, that's the number I want, but, you know, I ain't going to get that one. So I'm trying to see what other number look good on me.
Is it a single-digit number?
It got to be a single. I'm not an odd number person.
I told you it was going to be a single. You did say that.
It got to be an even number.
Even number and a single. Can I ask you a serious question about this Daniel Jones number thing? I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, but there used to be a wrestler. His name was Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. And he used to say, everyone's got a price. Yeah. Have you entered any kind of negotiation with Daniel on saying, listen, I know you've been here for a while, but come on. Let's make a deal. I want that number.
Nah, I already know it's a lot. Yeah. I already know it's too much to even, you know, get a number, so I don't even want to hit a number.
Yeah, you know why that's too much? Because Daniel Jones is making $40 million a year.
That's true. Money is very tough when you make that much money.
It doesn't matter. I mean, ultimately, the number will be whatever the number is, and you'll be fine. But how have you found your rookie season? Because it feels like, if rookie training camp, I should say, it seems like you belong here already. Right. And I think maybe that's just an LSU thing because all you guys come out and just acclimate right away.
I mean, you could say that, but I think it's just the grit that we play with, the dog mentality that we have, that, you know, when we step up on the field, you know, we want to be the best player that's out there. So I just guess that's my characteristic, just showing when I'm out there on the field. You know, I want to be the best person that's out there when I'm playing. So that's just how I carry myself every time I step on the field.
And it helps because you come to a place that doesn't have a number one, so to speak,
right.
And you step into a role, and you can take it right away. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you did that?
I don't feel like I did enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's a lot of plays I still left out there on the field. There's a lot of plays that's still going to be made through the season. So I'm just trying to continue to be that guy that they can rely on, that they can count on, that the quarterback trusts when he throws the ball, that I'm going to catch it. So that's all I've been wanting to be, is just, you know, a difference maker. So, you know, I was brought here to – you know, to be that difference, man. I just want to, you know, come here and be that person that they want me to be.
Right. Do you talk to any of the other guys, LSU guys that came in and just were great right away? Like, I'm sure Odell's reached out at some point, mm-hmm. obviously, because he was here. But Jamar, you know, those guys. Have you talked to Justin Jefferson?
No,
you know them at all?
I haven't talked to Justin. I talked to Jamar, you know, because I'll be out there training in Dallas, so he'd be out there also. So, you know, I never really talked to them about, you know, the – pertaining to football, mm-hmm. They just said, when I talked to Jamar, he was just like, bro, people in the league, they just not like that. So he was like, just be you. Like, just be you. You know, just play the game how you want to be played. You know, it's the same game you was playing since you young. So he was just like, don't think about it too much. Just, you know, be who
so
you
So all
are.
That connectivity we just make up. Yeah. All those LSU guys are all together. They don't care.
Did you model your game after, maybe it's an LSU receiver, maybe it's just the guy you watched growing up, but is there a receiver you really admired and modeled yourself after?
I didn't really watch football a lot growing up. I was more of an outside cat, so I wasn't really doing all the football stuff. I got into it really late. I started playing in middle school, so I started later on. But I didn't really, like, watch a lot of receivers. You know, I watched Odell when he was coming up. Mm-hmm. But it was just me, really. It was, like, going up and get the ball, really that. It was just after the ball.
And how'd you get so good at it then?
I really don't know. Like, it was just, I see it all the time. It's really God-given talent. Mm. God-given talent with, you know, hard work ethic.
Right. Well, so that makes it scary then, because that means you really haven't figured out what you're doing yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
But do you feel that? Do you feel like you still have a lot to learn?
Yeah, for sure. Like, sometimes when I be out there on the field, I feel like I'm still not even scratching what I can be. Because it's like every ball that get thrown my way, if it's not catchable or if the defender does a good job, I'm hard on myself because I'm like, bro, I could have made that.
Yeah.
There's no catch that I can't make. So I'm like, if I just, in the media, like, they see me making these catches, and I'm like, bro, that's easy to me. Like, catch is routine. So it's like, bro, the catches that I know I can make is way better than
right.
what
well,
they be.
Well, first. There was one last weekend that you made. I don't even know how you got your hands on it because it felt like it was behind you. And you jumped, and then you grabbed it, and it was back here. I was like, how in the world did you get your hands on that ball when it was already past you? But I feel that that's common for you.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
Like, that one, like, it was routine. Like, I came on the sideline, everybody like, bro, that catch. I was like, bro, that's routine.
Yeah.
Like,
it didn't feel spectacular to you.
Yeah, like, when I make a spectacular catch, I know. Yeah. It's a spectacular because I know how hard it was for me to do it. But that one was routine.
Do you feel, because I've had this observation about you, that Giant fans think you're going to be the best receiver in Giant history and maybe the best receiver in the NFL by the end of the year. Like, they are as hyped up for you as I've seen them on a first-round pick maybe ever.
Right.
Do you feel that energy and that excitement that's been created by you with this Giant fan base?
I mean, of course I feel it. Is it pressure to me? Nah, not really. I mean, I've been through pressure my whole life, so and I didn't make it out. The same. I done made it. I cleansed. So, pressure has been all me my whole life. So, I just think it's just more pressure on myself for me because I want to see myself succeed so well in playing this sport. So, I feel like I put a lot of more pressure on myself than people really put on me.
So, Hard Knocks was great because it showed us a little bit of the process, how the Giants came on you and then how ultimately you got drafted here. When you knew... When you get that call from Shane and Dave's, like, what was your emotion coming to the Giants? Did you know a lot about the history of this organization and what it's been like?
I didn't know a lot about the history, but it was just – my mind was, like – mine was going in different directions, really. It's like East Coast, never been on this side, going into a new team, going into a new offense – trying to learn this offense, how it might be different from the old offense, what kind of person they looking for, what they trying to do with me, how they going to use me. So it was a lot of different thoughts going to my mind. So I really wasn't, like, in the spot of being drafted, which I should have been. I should have just been, you know, taking the moment in with my family, but I was thinking about a lot. So my emotions, how it showed on the camera, it was like, it was a lot going through my mind. So I was just mixed. It was just mixed emotions. I didn't know, you know, how I was going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, it was the great decision. It was a great decision. I'm happy I'm here. God don't make no mistakes. Mm-hmm. So I was putting the best predicament that he wanted for me. I mean, Dave's is, you know, he's amazing. You know, the offense is amazing. You know, they're working around me, trying to give me the ball in different spots. So I was put in the best position, I think.
Right. How was he challenging you? Because obviously that's what Dave does, right? He's unique that way. He challenged you, and sometimes you don't even realize it. But how is he challenging you to get better?
Every day is like he going to test my ability of, like, studying. Because he want to see if I've actually been studying, because if you're not studying, he can't trust you. So he might throw in some plays in there, and he'd be like, Leak, do it. And I have probably never ran it, but I know what I got to do because I know the concepts of the route. So it just that's his way of seeing if he can trust you, about knowing the plays. Because if he knows that he can put you in different spots, he knows that the quarterback will trust you. He going to trust you to go out there and make plays because you know what you got
to
do.
We're talking to Malik Nabers. We saw it through Hard Knocks how much they loved you. They fell in love with you immediately. They couldn't wait to draft you. I don't know if it's like dating or not, but did you get that vibe from them when you met with them? Like, oh, they want me. They are going. They want to draft me.
Yeah, I kind of felt, you know, from my coach Gro, you know, how he was just interacting with me, you know, how he was always, like, around me. Jesse, how, you know, how those guys are just all feeding into, you know, wanting to be around me. And you can tell, you know, when somebody is, like, onto you, into you, you know, they kind of show a different effect between you and other people. So I could really tell, you know, where I was going before I was going. It was just a weight on the car, really.
Yeah. You've developed, at least in camp, a pretty good rapport with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of scrutiny on him. Hell, there's scrutiny on every quarterback in the NFL. But in particular, Daniel Jones. How have you developed a relationship with him? What's it been like?
I mean, the relationship between me and him has been great. You know, it's really about... It really was about when I first got here, just about knowing him. You know, it's a different arm, different rhythm, different spin on the ball. I'm a different route runner than he's been, you know, having. So it's really about that key element of trying to get on time, knowing your receiver, knowing your quarterback. And, you know, the relationship between me and him has just been absolutely great.
What's your greatest attribute as a wide receiver?
Man, I'll probably say my awareness on the field, like you said, the crazy catches that I be making on the sidelines, always my feet always in. So I think that's one great element that I have, is like my body control and knowing where I'm at on the field, because I can turn my body in crazy positions and still be able to, you know, have my body being standard and able to make crazy catches and still be on the field.
Yeah, are the route trees the same? What are you working on? Like, what do you need to get better at?
I mean, the route tree is way different. but the thing I gotta work on is really a couple things, but mainly is trying to stay with those tights and them socks above my knees, or I'm gonna get fined, because you know I'm used to playing with no socks on like that. So that's the thing I gotta work on right now.
Do you have statistical goals? Maybe it's 100 catches, 10 touchdowns. You have any in mind?
It's so many. I look into record books a lot. I look into, you know, rookie records.
You want all of them? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I want all of them. I want all of them.
You think you can achieve it with this team? The way it's constructed, the offensive line protecting Daniel and the run game. You think you can do it this year?
I can do anything I put my mind to. Is what I've been, you know, saying to myself since I was a kid. I can do anything I put my mind to. Just keep, you know, faith in God. I mean, if that's not what he wants for me, then that's not what he wants. But I'm sure there's a lot of greater things down the road for sure.
Yeah, so the one thing that we as a fan base and media, we've been talking about for a while, is putting talent around this giant offense, getting right. Daniel Jones some weapons. Your wide receiver coach was my quarterback in college. Mike Rowe and I were at Virginia together. What's he done for you? Give some love to Mike, because nobody knows his name and talks about him freaking, but I know he's got a busy room.
Right.
Because there are a lot of you guys in there.
I mean, he does a great job of, you know, preparing us before we even get out here on the field. Either if it's walkthroughs, just how he talks in the meeting room or trying to make us understand the offense. You know, I caught on to the offense. I wouldn't say pretty fast, but I caught on to the offense faster than I thought I was, because when I first came in, I was like, "Bro, ain't no way I'ma learn this fast." But how he, you know, how he taught me, how he prepared me, how he took time and to his day just to help me out, you know, I really thank him for that. So you know, he does a really good job on, you know, helping us on the field, knowing what we have to do.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, they're all invested in you. When you're right. a first round pick, you can't be a bust. It could cost somebody his job, their job. So everybody is invested in you. I mean, you know the expectation for you, but how are you going to translate that on Sundays? You know what I mean? It's a different right. it's a different mentality than doing it at training camp or sitting in a meeting room or talking about it in a media interview. What matters is how you perform.
Right. It's trusting myself. Don't go out there, you know, trying to be somebody that I'm not. Don't go out there trying to have the 200-yard game. Just be where my feet at. Knowing what I got to do, knowing my routes, you know, having trust in the offense that, you know, having trust in the offense, having trust in Dave's, having trust in Daniel's that, you know, I'm going to get the ball. And when I get the ball, do something with it. You know, show your talent off. Just you made it here off of showing who you were, showing who your talent was. So just continue to be who I am, really.
You mentioned earlier about starting to play football in middle school. Were you playing every sport as a kid? Basketball, baseball, track, everything?
I started playing baseball first.
Really?
I fell in love with baseball. I didn't really like basketball. I didn't really like football. It was too much. I don't know. Basketball was just, I don't know. I didn't really like it. Baseball.
What'd you love about baseball?
It was like the hitting the bat. Yeah. I mean, hitting the ball, being outfield, catching the ball, you know, throwing people out at third base. I mean, to first base. So it was all elements, and it was pretty easy. You didn't need any coaching to really play baseball. It was really catch the ball, hit the ball. Really. Yeah. That was all it was. And when the ball come, just, you know, do stuff with the ball.
When did it
now
go
I was
away?
Like, when I couldn't hit the ball.
When you couldn't hit the curve?
When I couldn't hit the curve and the four seams, and I couldn't hit all, it was like, it's time to wrap it up. The ball got too fast. I couldn't catch up to it, so it was like, it was wraps after that.
Yeah. And you made a good choice. I mean, yeah. Look, your first round pick in the NFL, looking for all the records.
Yeah.
Well, Malik, congratulations. Good luck this season. It'll be fun to watch you this year.
No
man.
Doubt,
thank
man.
You. Thank
good,
you.
Good to see you. Thanks yeah, for coming
Malik.
On with us.
Appreciate it.
Malik Nabers, first round pick, and I think he's the most popular Giant already. We got more coming up live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Evan Antiki here on The Fan and SNY. If you missed any of our conversations about the Giants and with the Giants, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app. Go all the way back to the top of the show. We talked a little bit about Francisco Alvarez's game-winning home run. We've also discussed the Yankee lineup decision tonight, which I'm not happy with, which features Austin Wells not playing. We'll get to a Met lineup decision that will excite Met fans. But first, we are a little late. I apologize. It's Cinco de Fibo.
Cinco de Fibo.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Five, with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, Cinco de Fibo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, Justin Timberlake brought Sexy back. We had Sexy Dexy on earlier. You guys are out at Giant Camp. So I'm going to give you the top five sexiest games this season for the Giants, all right?
Nice.
Here we go!
Yeah. Number five.
All right, number five is the Panthers. Now, you're thinking, Lugie, how is it sexy they're playing the Panthers? They stink. The game is in Munich, Germany. So we're going to have a full week of Tiki going down the rabbit hole of German beer, the Hoppenbräus, the Schopenhofer, all the German beers. They are playing. I don't even know how many Giant fans know this. They are playing the Panthers November 10th in Munich, Germany.
Yes. I'm so glad you put that on the list because I personally feel exactly the same way for different reasons. I love the 9:30 a.m. game. Like, I would actually have the NFL scheduled 9:30 a.m. games. So I'm excited about the Giant version of it because it's awesome. Who doesn't love a 9:30 a.m. football game? So I'm with you on that one.
Who's calling that game? Is that a CBS game?
Uh-oh.
I might have to request that one.
Would you want to?
Of course, I would love to go to Germany. That'd be amazing.
Giants Panthers with Tiki Barber.
Take us with
number
you.
Number four.
All right, number four.
Hey, Hurley, can we do the show in Germany?
No.
Really? I said yes.
I said yeah.
Oh my God, please no.
Right, want to see me start to hate remotes? You got me. Germany.
Ugh. You mean the Mets aren't playing anybody in Germany? All right, number four is Giants at Eagles. Now, I don't have a date for this because obviously it's at the end of the year. Week 18. The Giants will be going for their 11th win. The Eagles will be, Jalen Hurts will be traded by them, obviously, because they have all their issues in the locker room. So I'm going Giants at Eagles, the fourth sexiest for the top five sexiest games for the Giants this year.
Risky, because, you know, even if the Giants are better than maybe I think and everyone thinks, the game could still be meaningless.
Yeah,
you could have a playoff spot wrapped up, so there's a lot of potential for Week 18, good or bad, to just be a
blah kind of game.
Yes, it could be interesting or it could be just, why are we even paying attention?
Giants, yeah. Eagles, always sexy. Here we go.
Number three.
Bengals at MetLife, Monday night. See, this is why I think it'll be sexy. We just had...
Sunday night. It's a Sunday night
Excuse
game.
Me, I apologize. Sunday night game, Bengals. The reason I think it's sexy, you just had Malik Nabers on. He talked about Jamar Chase. Darius Slayton already compared Jamar and Malik Nabers. I'm telling you right now, those two guys are going to want to put up 200 yards apiece. It's going to be mano-a-mano Nabers and Chase in that game.
I'll tell you a minor reason why that's very sexy, and I don't think he thought of it, and there's a reason I knew it was a Sunday night game. It's an oddity, and I don't know how often this has ever happened in the history of MetLife Stadium, maybe ever. The Giants are hosting the Sunday night game. The Jets are hosting the Monday night game.
That's right.
And I think that's really, really cool just for all of us. So I like that. I think that's fun to have back-to-back primetime games in that stadium I'm pointing at right now.
That's
looks
going
like an
to
alien
be a
spaceship.
Very quick turnaround for the MetLife staff.
It is.
They got to turn all of the pictures inside the stadium. I'm serious. They got to flip them from Giants to Jets, and they got to change the entire Ring of Honor and inside the stadium. The colors are easy because it's just the lighting. The LED lighting can flip colors really easily, but that's challenging for the staff.
It's also a challenging day for Tommy Lugauer.
Why?
Why, Tommy? Do you know why?
It's a challenge. No, I don't.
That would also be game one of the NLCS.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're not doing the MetLife parking lot for the Jets game because we will be at Citi Field. I forgot the Monday night game for the Giants this year, I believe, is the Steelers, which was kind
correct.
Of a weird one. Got
yes.
it. All right, here we go.
Number two.
All right, I know, and look, I love Christmas games. I don't have kids, and I get annoyed with my family. I can't play Mahjong for three straight hours. So I understand that a lot of people like it, a lot of people don't. But one thing we all love is football on Thanksgiving, and we get Giants, Cowboys, Thanksgiving. That is as sexy as it gets. If both teams are great, the ratings will be absolutely through the roof.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with that one.
I kind of think the other Dallas game is sexier, and I assume that's not going to be number one on your list. They're playing on a Thursday night at MetLife because it's early enough in the season where there's hope.
Interesting.
Like for either team.
So that makes it interesting. So both the Giants-Cowboy games are on Thursday night.
That is true, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
See, I thought you'd be into it, Evan. You put the tree up in the morning because you're one of these maniacs that put the Christmas tree up Thanksgiving morning, and you're not.
That is true.
You don't like the Thanksgiving game? To me, that's like a sexy
thing.
Even if both teams are bad, it's still sexy.
It's not that I dislike it. I just think Thursday night, late September, Giants-Cowboys, early in the season, I think that that game will just have more hype.
Especially if the Giants are 3-0.
Yeah, or even 2-1. You know, I just think that will be, you'll test it. We'll see it right here on this radio station. There will be more buzz and excitement for that early season showdown than Thanksgiving. But let's get to number one because I think it's obvious.
Number one.
It's beyond obvious. October 20th. He's dead to all of us. Saquon Barkley, I guess, comes back from the dead, returns to MetLife Stadium. Giants, Eagles.
No doubt. No doubt.
The intensity of that game is going to be real.
Yeah, the reaction he gets, right. Which is going to be vitriolic, if you will. That'll be. It's the Eagles. It's relatively early in the season, week 7. I don't think there's any doubt that that is the number one sexiest hyped-ups game that the Giants have on their schedule as of right now.
Hard to argue.
Yeah.
Hard to argue.
Good job, Lugie. Cinco de Favo every day at 5 o'clock. We'll
you and I need to have a three-way.
No, thanks. The one game I think you left out, and I always feel this way, is week 1. Because you wait so long for the football season.
True. But it's almost low-hanging fruit. It's almost...
too easy?
Of course it's the big, it's sexy game. It's the reignition
yeah.
of the NFL. And for the Giants, you know, unlike half the teams in the league, they're at home.
Yes.
And so you get a home game to start the season. It should be an unbelievable day, and you expect it to be a victory.
Well, that's the other thing, and I'm glad you hit on that. As of right now, and we'll see how the line changes, because it probably will, the Giants are a favorite.
Yeah.
Like the New York, not by a lot. I think it's a point last time I looked. But the Giants are favored to win week 1 at home against the Minnesota Vikings and Sam Darnold, of all people. So, you're right, it's low-hanging fruit. It's the start of the football season, but, man, that's going to be fun. It's been a long offseason. Like, the one thing about the NFL, very different than the NBA, very different than baseball. Sometimes the NBA offseason
is like it's short because there just isn't that much time in it. Same thing with baseball.
Yeah.
But with football, it truly is mathematically the longest offseason we have.
And there's a lot that's going on. So you're talking about free agency. You're talking about the draft or the combine first and then the draft and then offseason workouts, the guys that are traded, like all that stuff. It feels like you're talking about it for a long time, but there's really not a lot going on.
Right.
And even once you get in the training camp, there's not a ton that you're looking at other than, you know, who's healthy, who's not. The preseason games mean less and less, it seems, every single year. So the start of the regular season is when you really feel football again.
Oh, yes.
Like, we've been dabbling in it, but once you start playing games that did truly matter,
yeah,
it's hard not to be all in. And I know baseball is going to be a big part of this fall, but football is exciting for both teams in this city.
Oh, yes. Though I will admit that today, and this is the first time this has ever happened here at Quest Diagnostics, and I've been here every year since 2009. Literally, except for 2020. That doesn't count. We kind of had a pandemic. Every year since 2009, I've been sitting in this seat, looking at this same field, seeing that bald-headed John Schmelk looking as handsome as ever. Every year. And every year when I'm here, I'm hot, I'm sweaty, and I'm like, yeah, I guess football's coming soon. I don't know. But today, I know football's coming because there's a chill in the air and I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
But we're unique this year because this is later than I think we've ever been over to Giants camp.
That may be true, too.
I feel like it's always been week one or two that we'd come over to camp. This is the end of training camp.
Yeah, I think I like it this way, especially if the weather's going to be like this.
Right. I mean, the weather turned a week ago. I feel like it was a week ago, maybe 10 days ago. That was the first day I woke up and it felt chilly. I knew it was going to be 92 degrees, but I could feel like a chill in the air.
Now, in fairness, like, the weather hasn't really turned, right?
This is the storm. This is the storm washed out all the heat, and now, I mean, they were bad storms, and I hope everybody's properties is all right.
Right.
But they were bad storms. Every time there's one of those, you're going to get cool air coming behind.
But we're going to get a few more 95-degree days.
There's no doubt about it. We just don't have one today,
yeah,
which is a blessing.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't want any more 95-degree days, but it's going to happen. Like, usually to me, once Labor Day hits, that's when I'm completely done with the 95-degree day. Like, you can't give me another one. It's over. It's school is starting. Like, we got to move on. We have to say goodbye to the freaking summer, and it's on to baseball and football. Because one thing that annoys me more than anything in the world, and I'll never forget this playoff game. Yankee fans, I apologize. I'm about to bring up a bad memory. The Yankees played the Cleveland Indians in Game 4 of the American League Divisional Series back in 2007. It was Joe Torre's final game as manager of the New York Yankees. And I went to that game because I'm an IBL. I'm an independent baseball observer. And I went to that game, and the memory I have more than anything else from that game is that it was 92 degrees.
Oh, wow.
And I remember saying to my friend Chad, who's a diehard Yankee fan, I said, this isn't playoff baseball. He's like, why?
Because it's too hot?
It's too hot! It's like you can't have baseball in the postseason when it's 92 degrees outside. And so once we get to September and definitely October for the Yankees, who will definitely be in the playoffs, let's keep our fingers crossed on the Mets, it cannot be 90 degrees. Now, speaking of the Mets, we have some very good news around their Met lineup tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Nimmo, who went for an MRI yesterday, it came back clean. I wasn't feeling very positive about this. This is where Positive Tommy was definitely right.
Okay.
Brandon Nimmo is not only fine, he is in the starting lineup tonight, and he's batting third. So a great break for him and the Mets, because remember, on Sunday, he made, at the time, a game-saving diving catch in left field. We even talked about it yesterday, like, is it worth it if he misses an extended period of time, considering, you know, he got injured on that diving catch? An inning later, he swings and misses. He felt it in his shoulder. Reminded some Met fans of Michael Conforto from a couple of years ago. He left the game after that at-bat in which he struck out. He goes for an MRI. He's not in the lineup yesterday. They never used him off the bench. Maybe they would have in the bottom of the ninth inning. They didn't. Well, it's all good because he's back in the starting lineup. And that is great news for him, especially because Tiki, he's been starting to get hot.
Yeah. And then you need, especially, you know, if Alvarez gets hot and then he gets hot, obviously Lindor has been that way. Pete Alonso stays a little bit more on, you know, post All-Star break run that he's been on. You feel comfortable. You know, obviously it's all going to come down to pitching because that's what's been the heel, so to speak, for this Mets team is bad outing from their pitching staff. But if they get the good pitching, they can score some runs and they have some depth in that lineup, then you kind of start getting excited about getting to the postseason.
No.
get to the postseason. Say it again.
Get to the postseason.
Get to the ball.
Just get to the damn postseason.
That excites
Anything
me.
Can happen then.
That's right. That's my. That's the slogan now for all mediocre baseball teams. Just get to the playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. How are you doing today, Mario?
What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on? Great show as always, guys.
Thank you, dude.
Appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to football for a second. You know, yes. I think, Kiki, you were saying earlier on about, you know, making the Super Bowl with maybe a quarterback that's not at an elite level.
Yeah.
So I look back at the last 30 years. Do you know how many quarterbacks, and I came up with, out of the last 30 years, there's four quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl that aren't either in the Hall of Fame or are going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
so
Nick
that
Foles
means 87%.
Nick Foles.
87% are going to be in the Hall of Fame. So who are the four? You got the first one right.
Yeah, Nick Foles. I think you can go back and you say the Baltimore Ravens.
They have to win, Trent Dilfer. They have to win the Super Bowl, or they just have to get to the Super Bowl? What's your bar?
Win. Win the Super Bowl.
He's right. I mean, it used to be 79%. Now it's up 80, over 80, 80 as you said, because of Brady winning again and Pat Mahomes winning three of the last, five or so?
But I reject that. You know why I reject that? To me, and maybe this is a loser mentality, I apologize, especially at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center where the Giants are filled with winners. I think getting to the Super Bowl is like an incredible accomplishment. And once you're there, you have to win a football game. Like, let's make this very simple.
It's true.
You have to win a football game. So, I've heard...
It tends to be one of the hardest football games to win.
I totally get that. But I would tell you that Jimmy Garoppolo was very, very close to winning said football game. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Brock Purdy was very close to winning said football game. Is he a Hall of Famer?
He could be.
I mean, I guess he could be. I guess you're right.
And by the way, if he wins a Super Bowl, he definitely could be.
You're right. Jared Goff was very close to winning said football game. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
I know he could be.
But he could be.
Cameron Newton was very close to winning said football game. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
But you see my point, right?
Yes, of course I do. We're talking about winning the Super Bowl.
I know, but I...
It comes down to often a quarterback having to be elite to make the plays that you have to make. And
to win that game.
To win that game. And the thing that last caller, I forget his name, he didn't add.
Mario didn't add,
but is also very relevant. The teams that didn't have that elite quarterback, that Hall of Fame or future Hall of Fame quarterback, were some of the most elite defenses of that era.
Yeah.
Right? You think about the Bucks, you think about the then Redskins back in the day, obviously Chicago Bears, like some of those, the Philadelphia Eagles, the year that they won with Nick Foles, they had a great defense, not elite all time, but they had a great defense. Defense matters for those teams that don't have those.
Sure, you got to be really good elsewhere.
Exactly. Which is what we said when we were talking about Daniel Jones. Can he get there? Yeah, maybe. If he's average or above average, but it's they got to be elite somewhere else.
But if you get me there, see, that's my. I guess that's where I differ with Mario.
Getting there is so hard.
That's my point. That's why
it's so hard, dude.
But I agree with you. That's why getting there is the accomplishment. Like when you just say, "Wow, you got to be elite to win a Super Bowl," I can't dismiss. Jalen Hurts got to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. Cam Newton got to a Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, we're dismissing it
as,
he didn't win the game, so screw him.
No. I don't think you can do that because, I mean, I would argue that Jalen Hurts should have won the MVP in a losing effort in that Super Bowl.
Right.
Even he made one bad play. Literally one bad play.
I could say the same about Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, he made one bad play. He overthrew one receiver when, outside of that, like, I don't think he sucked.
Yeah.
So I'm defending the average to not great quarterback by saying they were good enough to get to a Super Bowl.
Of course.
That in its own right is pretty good.
But for whatever reason, it tends to be the soon-to-be Hall of Famers or Hall of Famers that won those Super Bowls.
So what does that mean? Does that mean when you know you don't have a Hall of Famer, just get rid of him and try to find one?
No. I mean, but that's kind of what like the league is doing. That's what they do. Like, when you know you don't have a guy who can win you a Super Bowl, just move on from him.
To a degree.
Like,
if you find someone who's good, you're not necessarily going to throw them away just because they may not be Patrick Mahomes.
Look, this all comes back to Daniel Jones. And we're talking about Daniel Jones because he's the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. And a lot of fans or observers will say he's not elite and he's overpaid. But the reality is he's paid exactly where he should be. Middle of the road. $40 million a year is not a lot for quarterbacks any longer. Whoever gets the next quarterback deal is going to get $60 million.
Yeah.
So 60. Think about that. Daniel's making 40.
And
that's going to happen this year at some point.
It's a lot of money. We may be watching a playoff preview between the New York Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians. Are the Cleveland Guardians a team that would actually scare Yankee fans? We'll address it coming up. Plus your calls.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.